So I had asked John last week if he would be blessed to share on the subject of liberty in light of July 4th. I know that civil liberty is not the same as spiritual liberty, but it is a time of the year that we do celebrate the fact that our country is a free country, and what a blessing that is. But there are some great things in God's Word concerning the subject of liberty that far supersede anything we can get civilly. So, John, it's all yours.
Thank you. Great, thanks. You can turn to Luke 4 if you'd like to get started there. I've thought about this a number of times. Dr. Werewolf, one of the things that he used to say was that every time he was in the presence of God's Word, he always felt like he was in the presence of greatness. And I think that had a lot to do, his attitude toward God and His Word probably had a lot to do with why he was able to learn from God like he was, you know. And it's a blessing to me. One thing I always like about coming here is it's nice being in a room with people who have that same attitude, you know, that when you're in the presence of God's Word, you feel like you're in the presence of greatness. And it really makes it, you know, it's just a sweet, sweet way to be. Luke chapter 4, if you want to look at verse, 18? Luke 4:18. We're going to read this one to start off with. A lot of stuff we're just going to skip. We're going to sort of hit on highlights and just sort of skip along. I know everybody in the room has a pretty good background on some things, so you know, you'll fill in the blanks on your own. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." We had to read that verse because it's got the word liberty in it. not really, but it has the word liberty. And the word also deliverance in this same verse, it's from the same Greek word. You know, it's kind of like in translation, it's good. Like if translation is done consistently, it communicates more clearly. So they could have translated this to preach liberty to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised, or to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at deliverance them that are bruised, whatever. Either way, it might be interesting. I just learned this a few days ago myself. When I was looking up that Greek word, of all the times, it's only used 17 times in the Gospels and the New Covenant writings combined, except for this one verse. Every time that Greek word is used, it's always translated either forgiveness or remission, which really puts a whole nother, opens a lot of doors in this verse. You know, what was he talking about? Really interesting. So that's all we're going to say about that verse. You want to look at that on your own, it could be, you know, a very rewarding study. If you turn to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. This doesn't have the word liberty in it, but in verse 6, this is sort of like the 4th of July verse, I guess, back in their day and time. "When they therefore," when, you know, the apostles whom he had chosen, "when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, are you going to at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" All right, this is what we've been waiting for. And Jesus' response was something along the lines of, got something of a little bit greater significance I wanted to talk with you about. You know, when restoring the kingdom to Israel, Israel at this time was under the thumb of the Roman rule. The Roman government is the government that had just crucified Jesus Christ 40 days prior, or whatever it was, sort of 40, recently. The Roman government, because somebody danced and pleased the ruler well, they whacked off John the Baptist's head. That would be a government that most people would probably be interested in getting out from underneath that kind of rulership. And so here was Jesus Christ, that government had crucified him, God had raised him, they're talking to him saying, okay, now are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? And what Jesus Christ was able to give to them was something that was just a little bit beyond, you know, where their thinking was. It was so much more fantastic It's like looking at a grain of sand and comparing that to the universe, just a little bit bigger, you know? So, but that's another type of liberty that people think about, and that's what they were talking about, and there it is. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, please, we'll get into some of what Jesus Christ came to make available, or at least it'll touch on some things that were made available because of what Jesus Christ did. We're just going to read, somebody else like to read this verse, verse 1, Galatians 5, 1, Susan?
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Right. That's another one of those verses. That word liberty, it's the same root word as the word free. Now, I don't know what the Greek word is, but I don't think anybody here is fluent in Greek anyway. So, you know, if you look it up, you'll find that it's the same word. It's like 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. You know, you lose it because it's the same root word, but they translated it with two different English words. And it's the same thing here with liberty and free. It would really impact. I like the word free better, or freedom, just because, you know, like another thing that Dr. Werwell taught us, he mentioned that every time man uses a word that God's word uses, man always elevates that word, right? Oh, it was the opposite. That's, he always degrades it. And the word liberty or liberties in our society, because of the way that that word has been so used, it has really degraded the meaning of that word just to our minds. It's a good word, just like a lot of other words are good words, but because of the way that it's used, it's been brought lower. And the word free or freedom has not had that kind of abuse in, you know, usage. So I think to us it communicates more clearly. So, you know, if you translated it, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, it would really, you know, it communicates maybe more clearly and maybe more emphatically, but, you know, to do it. So that's another place where that word liberty is used, and it's different conjugations, and we're going to look at a couple. You know, one is a noun, I think, and the other is an adjective. Not positive about that, but, you know, same basic word. You know, like, there is a baked good, and there's a baker. You know, same root word, just different ways, conjugations, whatever. So, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll look at a place where it's the same conjugation as that word liberty. And actually, it's translated the same way with the word liberty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and in verse 17. And again, we're just going to look at a couple verses here. This is the last of the last of the last of the appendices in the intermediate class student study guide to the Walking in God's Power class. And if you turn to the back where all the cards are, you know, you get it signed up, I took the class, here's the day and time or whatever it was. You turn to the first page of those cards, the page right beside that's got the last two sentences of the appendix that's covering these verses. And it's a very well done appendix. A lot of information there, really good information. If you wanted to refresh your memory on this stuff, it's really a very well done appendix. But we're just going to look at verse 17 here. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And the word Spirit there is talking about the totality of the new nature. And the Lord, God has made it very clear in the church epistles that the Lord is Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is that Spirit. And where the Spirit, the totality of the new nature of or from the Lord Jesus Christ is, there is freedom. Which is a nice place to be. You know, you want to know where freedom is? Where the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit from the Lord is, there is freedom. So anybody looking for freedom, now they know where to find it. And it's that Spirit of the Lord, it's the genitive of origin. You can read that in that appendix or just figure it out for yourself. And what it says, and that really explains the first part of the verse, where it says, the Lord Jesus Christ is that Spirit. Is He? I mean, that's what it says. But then it says, the Spirit from. Well, if it's the Spirit from the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is that Spirit, if you plug in Acts 2:33 here, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he shed forth or poured out, this is what you now see and hear. The father said, son, pour this out on him. Okay, pop. He poured it out. There it was. The Lord is the source of, or the pourer out of. There would be an ellipsis in the first. Now the Lord is, then there has to be an ellipsis supplied. The pourer out of, if you wanted to put it that way. The pourer out of that Spirit. And where the Spirit from the Lord Jesus Christ is, there is freedom. So if a person wants freedom, just receive the totality of the new nature. There's freedom. And that's that same word, liberty, that we read in Galatians. Then verse 18 says, but we all, the we is referring to those who have received that Spirit, with open face, beholding as in a glass or as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And this is interesting also, that the glory of the Lord, well, where is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? He's passed into the heavens. He's seated at the right hand of God. But we can behold it as in a mirror. Are we in the heavens right now? As far as I can tell, we're sitting down here, right? As far as we know, you know, we're not up there yet. We have that, you know, it's a spiritually accomplished, fully paid for reality, but it's not a fully manifested reality yet. Right now, we're still down here. But we can see it as in a mirror. That's where we're going to be someday. Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit from the Lord. That's a pretty, something really wonderful to look forward to. I mean, this life is wonderful. A lot of wonderful things about it. Some things that might not be so wonderful. But that, a lot of wonderful things about it. And a lot of other wonderful things about it. You know, there are no things about that life where you'd say, well, you know, it's pretty good except for. Not going to be any except for. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 8, it also speaks of that same sort of time period that we read about right there, where we behold it today like looking in a mirror. Romans chapter 8. Yeah. Somebody else wanted to read a verse a while ago? All right. Verse 21.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Right. And that word liberty is the same word in Greek as the 2 Corinthians 3:17. And the word delivered is also from that same root word. So, the word creature would be better translated the creation. You know, not the creature. It's the creation itself shall be delivered or freed from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And that is going to be around that same time period. You know, we behold as in a mirror now the glory of the Lord, but the day is going to come, and that day will never, once it comes, it'll never end, when we're not going to be looking at it as in a mirror. We're going to be there, you know, and that's really something to look forward to. And even in this life, with whatever situations we're faced with in this life, knowing what's coming, it lightens the load a lot. You know, if you knew right now that such and such was going to happen in 4 days, something, you just fill in a blank for yourself, something so wonderful, it's just almost too good to believe, but you knew it was going to happen, you knew it, then even if you were in a really bad situation today, just knowing that 4 days from now this thing is going to happen, the thing that was really bad, by comparison, wouldn't really be that bad. You know, say if you knew you had no, this would be really hard for you, if you knew you had no food for the next 4 days, I mean, you know, you'd wonder, gee, is life worth living, right? You know, but it would be bad. But if you knew that after, you know, in 4 days from now, such and such is going to happen, where not only I'm going to have all of the best foods in the world and it's never going to end. Well, even though you're still hungry right now, knowing that it's coming, it would really just, it would take a lot off of that. And that's the same thing with this Romans 8:21. The whole creation is looking forward to that deliverance, that freedom. The creation itself shall be delivered, shall be freed from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So that's a future freedom. You know, the one in 2 Corinthians 3:17, what it talked about, and 18. And this one here, it's a future freedom or liberty that we have to look forward to. And even though it's not, you know, currently here right now, just having that to look forward to, it really can lighten the load a lot when we have this information. It's like, hey, really, you can breathe. No matter what situation you're in, you can breathe. You say, well, it might be blah, blah, blah now, but I know it's coming. And it really, it does that thing to you. Look at John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Anybody else want to read?
Sure.
Okay. Verse 31 for starters, please.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.
Right. I wanted to point out one thing with that word disciples. I didn't know this till the other day, too. I was talking with somebody, and they said the word disciples really means a learner. And I thought, now that's interesting. Skip over a few things, but anyways, you know, they said it means a learner. I said, that's interesting because, again, the way that in our modern English, a person could learn something, like there's that, we've heard the phrase perpetual student, where somebody just learns and learns and learns and learns. We watch Jeopardy, my wife and I. We love watching Jeopardy. Some of those people, there's just nothing they don't know, it seems like. There was that one guy years ago, you know, he was like on staff almost. He just knew everything. Well, you could say, well, that guy was a learner. And he said, yet here he said, verse 31, he said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue or abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, my disciples truly. And I thought, if a disciple means a learner, so then I looked up that word disciple, you know, on that Esau thing that Brian came down and showed us how to use a while back. If you hold your finger here and look at Hebrews chapter 5, it's pretty neat. Hebrews chapter 5. You know, because a person from reading that could say, well, okay, I'm just going to learn and learn and learn. I'm going to study and study. Boy, I'll know everything. I'm a learner. That's what Jesus said, you know. Continue, if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples, my learners indeed. Well, here in Hebrews 5, there's another use of that same Greek word. Different, you know, this disciples is a noun. I guess this is going to be a verb here. Verse 8, Hebrews 5:8. Says, though he, Jesus Christ, were a son, yet learned. And that's that same word that the word disciple comes from. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And a few years ago, this first really hit me. I thought, you know, the things which he suffered, the reason he suffered those things, because God told him, I want you to do this, and he went and did what God told him to do. And I thought, well, now wait a minute. If he did what God told him to do, that's obedience, right? But here it says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So it's sort of like, you know, I'm trying to figure this thing out. How do you learn obedience by being obedient? And as soon as I asked that question, the answer was there. That's how you learn anything. Not by reading about it in a book. You want to learn how to dig a ditch, grab a shovel and start digging. That's how you're going to learn. How you learn obedience? You want to learn obedience? Start being obedient. That's how you learn anything. And that's what, those disciples which believed on him. You want to be a learner? Get busy doing. That's how you learn. And that's that word, disciples. And you'll see that. You want to read the next verse too? Verse 32?
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Right. And there's our word free again. It's that same word like in liberty in 2 Corinthians 3:17 or those other places. But the word know here, it's a Greek word which means to know by experience. You know, there's another Greek word which means basically you just stick your nose in a book. That's not this one. This one is you know by experience. You know, if I read a cookbook, oh, this is a great recipe. You do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now I know how to do this chicken cordon bleu. you really want to know how to do that? Oh, I know. I can tell you all about it. Okay, go cook it. Well, I ain't saying I could cook it. I just know. Well, that's different. You know, this know here is the one where you know by experience, which fits with that disciples and that thing in Hebrews 5:8. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned it by doing what God told him to do. You know, there was that point even where it was in the garden there three times, says, Father, is there some other way we can do this? And Father basically said to him, Son, I really wish there was. But I thought this thing through backwards and forwards a million times, and this is the only way it can be done. They said, all right, Pop, what are we doing next then? All right, you got to do this. Okay, and he just did it. You know, which is a great, like you look at the camaraderie that the two of them had and still have. You know, what a great, like how each one was so interested in the other one. God told him, you know, he said, do you think I couldn't pray right now and the Father wouldn't send me more than 72,000 angels? Well, either he lied when he said that or he told the truth. Well, if he lied, then he's not a redeemer. Well, he is the redeemer, so he didn't lie. So how did he know? God told him, you want out, you ask, and before you have time to blink, there'll be over 72,000 angels. You read some places in the other rest of the Bible, what, one angel did? I mean, one took care of a lot of stuff. You can read places. There are places where there were two. And 72,000? That was God's concern for his son. Well, what would have happened to God's plan of redemption if Jesus would have said, you know, I think I'll take those. I just don't think I'm up to this. What would have happened? God knew what would have happened. It didn't stop God from making the offer. And if God made the offer, he always makes good on what he offers. God offered that to his son. And Jesus, right after he said that, what is it, Matthew 26:53 or someplace in there, right after he said that, the next verse he says, but how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? You know, the camaraderie, God was so interested in his son. You want out, I'll give you, I'll clear the benches. You know, like a baseball game when they don't like the umpire's callers, the benches just clear. There's nobody left in the dugout. That's basically what God told him. Son, you want out, I'll clear the dugout. You know, everybody will be there and see who can stop that. And Jesus said, you know I could do that, but then how is the scriptures going to be fulfilled? You know, and this thing, you know, the Son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. You shall know the truth by experience. You know, he had that experience. That's how he learned obedience. And he learned what came as a result of obedience. And he learned what came along with that obedience. A little bit more maybe than I wanted to say about that. Where are we going to go next? Oh, yeah. All right, let's go to Romans 6, please. Romans 6. It's really, you know, I think sometimes about that thing, that verse we first read, that Luke 4:18, preach deliverance to the captives, or preach forgiveness to the captives, to set at liberty, or to forgive them that are bruised. You know, and there's a lot about that verse I don't know. You know, I love that about Dr. Werewolf too. You know, when he started the Way Ministry, it was begun by him as a biblical research ministry. Well, you don't do research on stuff you already know the answers to, right? I mean, you know, if you're doing research, it's because you want to learn. And, you know, sometimes you find that out when you study. Like I was talking to Perry a few weeks ago, I said, I'm pretty sure, you know, Romans 5:15 and that Galatians thing where it says that he sent the spirit of his son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. And then I mentioned to Perry a few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure that word crying is the same one where he cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. It's not that. There are places where that same word is used, where they cried Hosanna when Jesus was coming into to Jerusalem one of those last times. They cried Hosanna. They were putting the palm leaves in the coats and, you know, sweatshirts or whatever so we could walk on them. You know, it was like a cry of jubilation. And it's that same word that God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts where we cry, Abba, Father. You know, it's a terrific thing. But sometimes, like with that thing in Luke 4:18 with the deliverance and the liberty where it's really forgiveness, remission, there's probably a lot to that that could be learned. I don't know. Man, it's something I'm going to look into for myself. It's very, very interesting that that's the word that God used there. It's very different. I mean, forgiveness is a very different concept. Not there is candy. It's different to some ways than deliverance and forgiveness. You know, you can say, well, I forgive you. That implies that there is a wrong which has been done. You could be in a situation where you didn't do anything wrong and you still need to get delivered, you know, or to set at liberty them that are bruised. You could be, you know, wrongly incarcerated, so you still need to be set at liberty. But if you need forgiveness, then you did do something which was wrong, which needed to be forgiven. So a lot that could be learned there. Romans 6 here. Guess we're going to button it up. some of the freedom which has been made available to us. Remember it said in Galatians 5, stand fast therefore in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made you free. Romans 6 verse 18 says, being then made free from what?
Sin.
Boy, what a great freedom that is. I mean, how could anybody ever get that? There was only one way. All of mankind put together couldn't acquire that. They could put a rocket ship on the moon, but they couldn't make themselves free from sin. You know, there was just no way. Being then, and it doesn't say, someday you will then be made free from sin. Being made or having been made, it's a done deal. It's a past. Being made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. And we're going to, we'll just keep reading. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. So they were free from, in verse 20, you were free from righteousness. And now in verse 22, you're free from sin. Well, the end of the stuff in verse 21, the end of those things, when you were free from righteousness, the end of those things was death. It might be death, that's where the end is going to be, but I'm free from righteousness. Well, not sure it's really a freedom that I'd like to sign up for. You know, but then the other flip side of it is, but now being made free from sin, and the end of those things is everlasting life. It's a little bit better sounding freedom. You know, and it says, being made free from sin, in verse 18, you became the servants of righteousness. And I think that sort of ties a lot of that stuff together, like with John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In verse 36 it said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And here, you know, being made free from sin, they became the servants of righteousness. There was nothing really like to hold them back anymore. Nothing like, you know, I'd love to serve God, but I hope He doesn't look in my direction because I know I'm so dirty. Or I know I did all these things. You know, I love to serve God, but, you know, I want to hide when He comes around. You know, like Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, here He comes. I'm going to scoot behind a chair. You know, because I'm so unworthy. I'm so unclean. I'm so this, so that. All these bad things. No, you're not. You're made free. We're made free from sin. And we can, that in Galatians 5, when it says stand fast, that's the word in Greek, it's steko, means basically, doctor talk, it's where you put your feet in wet cement and you let the cement harden. That's stand fast. You know, then when you want to walk somewhere, you can't go nowhere because that's steko, it's the Greek word. You know, or we get, I guess, stucco comes from that. This is something compound. You stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And since we know that we've been freed from sin, we don't have to hide from God. Not that we want to, but, you know, it's like we can just be fearless, knowing that we didn't do anything. It has nothing to do with anything that we did. But God and His Son, because of their love, did it all for us. And just, I would say, threw the doors open. Basically, they just threw the doors away. And so, you know, and here we are, and we've been made free. And it's nice to, you know, with July the 4th coming up, you know, thinking of freedom, and then maybe thinking of some of the freedoms that we have because of what God and His Son did. It might make it a nicer 4th of July, you know, remembering some of the things that God and His Son have done for us. So that's all.
Great. Thank you.